the phases 3 and 4 for the NHL as that news is coming out. And also they are working on a new CBA. And also baseball, some of the Blue Jays are in Toronto, Pooley, and the testing has not exactly gone smooth. But our next guest, he's always smooth. And he's not just the co-host of Overdrive, he is the star of the NHL panel at TSN. Jeff O'Neill joins us on Overdrive. How are you, O?
I guess he's not that good.
Let's try that. One more time, maybe? I don't know. Maybe he didn't like my intro. I thought he would. Okay, we're going to call him back. Jeff O'Neill will
maybe
join us
here. Maybe he didn't like your intro. I think that was probably it.
I thought I was pumping him up pretty nicely there. I don't know,
you had
Dave.
It pretty good there. Star of the panel, the NHL panel.
I know.
Star of Overdrive.
I'm saying that with someone else who's on the panel with me.
The humble one, trust me. Yeah. I'm fine.
you're fine in your corner, right?
Deflect the spotlight.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's try this again. The star of the NHL panel at TSN, Jeff O'Neill joins us on Overdrive. How are you, O?
I'm doing good, buddy. Living in Collingwood, small town Ontario, watching Twitter and reading the news. I feel pretty blessed, let me tell you. It just seems like just with the COVID and sports trying to come back, it seems like things kind of stay small in Collingwood, which is, I feel pretty fortunate, Mark and Pooley, let me tell you.
Well, you're playing some pretty nice golf courses, I hear. But I have heard from the grappler, quote, you've got the itch. What is the itch?
I do need some time off to kind of recharge the batteries, but then it gets to a certain point where, I don't know, I like my job, I like what I do, and I kind of feel the need to kind of scratch the surface a little bit and touch base and then get back in the mix. I'm looking forward to it.
So give us your thoughts on phases 3 and 4, which they've tentatively agreed on, and some of the details about what would life be like inside the hub for a player. Frank Saravalli posting that on TSN.ca. Give us your perspective from a former player. Some of those details that you're reading, what sticks out to you?
Well, before I get into what a life would be like in a hub, I actually, just watching what's going on, Mark, like, I can't believe the sports leagues. Like, baseball is another story. It's a mess. I'm kind of shocked. I know that, you know, A's was talking about it when this thing first started. We need sports. We need some normalcy. We need to give people something to look forward to watch sports and for mental health and feel good. But I can't believe these leagues continue to persist to get this done. I applaud David Price and other guys that have said, I'm just not doing this. Like, I just find it crazy that sports, they're pushing through like this with the positive tests and letting baseball teams come to Toronto. I'm actually shocked it's happening. I just don't know why someone wouldn't take the lead and say, you know what, this just can't happen, and we got to look forward to next year. As far as what it would like to be in a hub, I mean, that's the other end of it, the competitive side of it, Mark, where it's like you got a chance to win a cup and you're a team like Boston Bruins or Toronto Maple Leafs or Tampa Bay Lightning or St. Louis. You know, you're like, what the hell? Let's just go for this and try to win a cup during this, regardless of the scenario outside of the hockey world. But it just seems awful crazy that they want to push this through. I know it's about big TV money and other elements involved, but my God, it seems crazy to be going through with this right now.
Well, from a standpoint of picking the two Canadian hubs, it seems that much more controllable, just like Canada as a whole is that much more controllable, you know, than the U.S. is right now. And we watched that Sean Doolittle, the pitcher from the Washington Senators, and, you know, he was looking at the global aspect of it and saying from a country standpoint, we just opened up on May 24th without changing anything. Whereas, you know, it's funny how those guys look at Canada and like, why are they listening so well and our guys aren't? And, you know, and by our guys, they mean, you know, our country. And as you look at this from a standpoint of a player's standpoint, it's going to be a 5-week commitment to get to the Final Four. And a 5-week commitment, you know, and you look at it and you say, if you get through 5 weeks, you're in the Final Four. And during the Final Four, your families are coming in. you know, which never happened when we played. You didn't bring your family to the conference finals. And, you know, they're going to be bringing their families in and putting them up in the hotels and looking after them. And so from that standpoint, a five-week commitment to get to the Final Four, I think, is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, you know what, I'm glad you're... I guess, Pooley, like I mentioned, living in Collingwood, I'm not really diving deep into things. I'm just kind of checking it out big picture-wise, and I'm glad you told me that, because when you put it like that, like, some teams aren't going to be around that long. You don't make the play-in round, blah, 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 you're gone. But I was thinking of it big picture, like, with all this craziness going on, and we're still trying to push through. So I'm glad you kind of gave me that perspective, because when you look at it like that, you know, there's only four teams that are going to, you know, drift on here and go on a run, but I was just finding it crazy. Look, I guess I was just seeing the worst of Twitter, like the amount of cases in the States, not even really thinking of Canada.
Okay, we're having some technical difficulties with Jeff O'Neill, which should delight the host of this show, Brian Hayes, who is on vacation today, but we'll try to get him back on the line and, you know, get his perspective on things. And, you know, you're right. The if you are able to get to the conference final, which would be played in Edmonton for both conferences and then the Stanley Cup final, you would be able to add a few members of your family. And it's funny, Pooley, like, in normal circumstances, you wouldn't get that.
Well, here's the breakdown, Mark. You know, we'll go simply that the first play-in round is going to be between 8 and 10 days. And the top four teams in each conference are going to be playing for seeding at that point. The excitement of being there, the excitement of something, you know, new that they haven't had for 4 months, the appreciation of that will carry that. Then you get into the first round. Well, the first round of the playoffs is the first round of the playoffs. It is the hardest round. It is the round most rife with upsets. You think of four division leaders last year not making it through. And because it's a chance for a team that didn't have a good year to have a great year.
Yeah.
And now you're in the second round. Well, the second round is going to be 10 days to 2 weeks. So I don't think the bubble, the focus of the group, is going to be broken through that time. Now you get through that, and now you're one of the final four teams. I mean, think about it. When you break it down in stages, and that's what you have to do when you play in these in the playoffs, you have to break it down into pieces. If you look at it from an overall standpoint, 1 year I played 26 games in 53 nights. If you looked at that from an overall standpoint at the start, you'd say, there's no way we can do that. That's physically impossible. And yet we did it. But we did it piece by piece. And, you know, to do it piece by piece like that, you know, once you look at it like that, okay, the play-in round is over. Now you got the first round. Chaos. Now you got the second round. We win the second round, guys. We're going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Now it gets much, much simpler.
We have Jeff again, and you miss Hayes so much that you just forced your phone to break up there a little bit. Is that the case?
This is the last kick at the can, fellas. This is the last kick at the can right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Get up to the top of a hill, oh.
Okay.
I'm trying.
Want to get your thoughts on what you saw from the PGA Tour this weekend. Bryson DeChambeau, who's been a big story with his physique, with his diet, and with his play, even before he won on the weekend. But do you see him potentially changing golf in not quite the Tiger Woods way, but in a way where courses maybe start changing some holes because of the way that he plays?
Darn right I do. You could see there was guys on tour, the announcers were mentioning it, that they were stopping on the fairway and watching him hit drives. And you know damn well that some of them are saying, how'd you do this? What are you doing? What's the equipment? What's the workout routine? Because if he continues to win, I mean, the last hole was 471 yards. He hit a driver and a flip wedge 90 yards. And it was just incredible. And what I respect about it so much, Mark, is everybody in pro sports works hard, some guys more than others. But he thinks outside the box, and instead of just going to the range and drilling 8-irons all day like everyone else does, he thought of something different. How can I improve myself? How can I put something on paper, come up with an idea, and apply myself that can separate me from the rest of the field? And he's done it. Whether that can work at a U.S. Open course or Augusta National, I don't know. But I'm sure what he did on the weekend in Detroit got people's attention and saying, you know, he's always on the leaderboards right now, and he won in kind of convincing fashion. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be getting people's attention on tour to what he's doing. There was a par 5, 580, driver 8-iron eagle. It was just it's so impressive. It's just a different game, a completely different game.
You know, oh, when this guy came on tour, I watched right away because, you know, he was a pretty entitled kid and came, you know, out of the U.S. college ranks, SMU, I believe.
Let me tell you, not my favorite guy in the world, but I like
him. No. But it was easy not to like what he started as. I'm going to use the same length clubs. No one else on tour has ever done it, but I'm going to use the same length clubs because I've got a science degree or an engineering degree, and I understand something you don't. And there was a superiority to it. It would be really interesting put him on a team and to see how it played out if Bryson DeChambeau were a star player on a team and acted that differently.
Yeah, you know what, Pooley? I saw a bit of it in hockey with Gary Roberts and Rod Brind'Amour. I mean, guys were, it was about cold beer and chicken wings and having lunches. And Gary Roberts wasn't afraid to come in the locker room and fire up the blender and have the protein mixes and, you know, the strength trainers, his own people, his massage people, his, you know, ART people. And people were like, what is this? Like, what? And he decided to care enough about his body to put the money into it. It's like LeBron James. I think LeBron James said he spent $1 million on his physique and his performance a year. And that's the price of doing business for those guys. So I saw it with Gary and some guys with him and Hans say, this is a little bit too much. It's hockey. It's old school. But he was dead in the water. His career was over, and all that training and everything gave him 7 or 8 more years and a lot of money out of that. So it's well worth the investment, that's for sure.
Jeff, before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts on the breaking news this afternoon. Patrick Mahomes signing a 10-year extension with the Chiefs. That deal worth at least $400 million. It, according to Adam Schefter, will be over $400 million, but it's really reflective of the salary cap in the NFL. But if you're going to invest in someone, I can't think of anyone else besides, you know, the quarterback that just led them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding. I think he's been an MVP, two-time Pro Bowler. I don't know what else you want from that guy. Mm-hmm. There's one of those slam dunks like the Mike Trout contract. It's a slam dunk. You just give him an open check and say, play here for 10 years, try to bring 3 to 5 championships, and you'll be worth every cent. I mean, you're going to sell 10 zillion jerseys. He's one of the most popular athletes of all time. He seems like a fantastic kid, and those are the kind of guys, and his performance speaks for itself. And he's just really getting started. Imagine what he's going to be like peak performance in 3 or 4 years. It's scary to think of what he's going to be a couple years in the future. So that's one of those ones where you see it, and it's great to see the breaking news, but it's not really breaking. Everyone should have known that was coming. That's one of those slam dunk deals that Pooley understands in management. It's pretty easy to say, here's the check, put a number on it because we're doing it.
Largest contract.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is it's ties to the collective bargaining agreement. It ties to the salary cap and percentage-wise, and that's the first time we've seen that.
David, I thought you would know that I don't get into salary caps and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you about the escrow that players are going to pay into for the next 5 or 6
seasons. I don't even know what escrow is. I don't even know what it is, so that's why.
Sly like a fox.
Oh, I love it. Really appreciate you coming on during your vacation. We're all looking forward to hearing your voice when you return to Overdrive next week.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, there you have it. Jeff O'Neill, co-host of Overdrive, star of the NHL panel on TSN. And
see, when you don't like talking about something, you say you don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And no one bothers
you. He was pretty clear about that. And and he doesn't want to talk about escrow. You just say, I don't know anything about escrow.
Yeah,
move on.
I don't know anything about escrow. I don't want to talk about that.
Next topic. And from a player's perspective, if you don't know anything about escrow, it's a good thing because then you probably didn't have to pay into escrow like current players have to.
I didn't know anything about escrow, but I guess in order to make what they make now, I would have paid into escrow too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you would have taken
balance it out.
The deals that would be dished out right now.
The overall amount of money going home, Mark, that was the question, right?
Yeah, but it was fascinating to watch the Rocket Mortgage Classic this weekend, and Bryson DeChambeau is able to do to golf, and again, I hate comparing anyone to Tiger Woods.
But, you know, when this kid came in, you know, he had a lot of detractors and he was doing things differently, but it was from a scientific standpoint. And to do what he's done now, I think almost defies what it started as. It started as, I'm going to be perfect technically. And now it's like, I'm going to combine the technicality with pure brawn and size.
Right.
And the combination of those two things, but to control it, like he had 12 drives yesterday over 320 yards. There's only 14 driving holes on a golf course. And very often, you know, four of them or five of them are positional drives where, you know, it's a shorter par four, you got to hit to a certain place or there's a bend in the hole, and you can't take it out and whack it. He's just taking it out and whacking it.
But you,
12 drives over 320.
And you wonder if he ever would have had the opportunity to do this to his body. Like, would he, if we had not gone through this pandemic?
Very interesting question.
You know, would he have spent the quote-unquote off-season, which really there isn't much of an off-season in golf.
You don't. It's a wraparound season.
So you really, you needed the two and a half months, 3 months, whatever it took him to build up his body like that. Like, you know, the Raptors were talking today. Chris Boucher put on 15 pounds. And, you know, a lot of us maybe have put on 15 pounds during COVID-19. But he was a guy that needed to. And it's tough to do that.
The hard part, Mark, was at the start, you didn't know it was 3 months or 4 months.
Right.
I mean, you had no idea. It was, holy smokes, you know, it's March 11th, March 12th, when the NBA and the NHL shut down. Nobody knew what that was going to look like. Nobody knew if we were coming back this year. Mm-hmm. No one still knows for sure if we're coming back this year. So it was like the second... This was somewhere in Bryson DeChambeau's like mind, somewhere in his thought process, that if I ever have a break for whatever reason, I'm going to be prepared to do this. Because clearly he jumped into this, three workouts a day and mega protein shakes and, you know, all the other pieces of this, right from the start, right from day one of this break, he took full advantage of it. And, you know, a couple other guys did, but it probably took them longer to get into it and longer to realize that, you know, I would say more golfers, by the way they're playing and the way they're shooting, are mentally and physically rested right now. They're shooting the lights out as a group.
Yeah, the scores are unbelievable.